What's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast. Ooh, we still got it.
That was good.
Nice.
I was kind of nervous about it, really.
Yeah,
we didn't know how it was going to go.
We haven't done this in months.
It's been a minute.
I genuinely.
Almost a year.
Yeah, I don't know when our last episode came out.
We haven't even seen it. This is the first time we've seen each other. This first time we've talked.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's, I think partially because now we're in D4 clinic and you get assigned a cube, essentially, and that's like your cube for the year. And the bays are A through G, and Clayton got put all the way down in A bay, and I'm all the way down in G bay. It's like literal opposite ends of the room.
If you think that they did this on purpose, they 100% thought about that and did it on purpose, no doubt.
Absolutely. They knew that if we were too close to each other, nothing would get done for our patients.
Podcasts would be created all the time if that happened.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There was also the podcast that never was, unfortunately.
So the last time we recorded a podcast, I think it was in like...
That was like March or something. Because I was still at the house by myself.
Yeah. Yeah, so we recorded this podcast. It was probably one of our best ones, probably not ever. It was decent.
We had to stop the recording multiple times.
It was decent at best, but it got eaten by Marco's computer, so it never got aired.
Yeah, my laptop decided that it wasn't going to save the file at the end of the recording, and it just decided to delete itself. I get it; it happens. But
it's just all a lie. It just isn't like us.
Right. So we have had some major life events going on too. We promise we haven't been ignoring you guys. It's just been a pretty stressful and crazy past few months here.
It has. Some would say a little wild. Some would say a little crazy. Emily had to have brain surgery at the beginning of May, and that was craziness, but she's doing much better now, so that's good. Anything going on in your life?
Well, I was engaged, and now I'm not.
Emphasis on was.
So that's a lot of fun. But anyways, we're not going to talk about that on the podcast. That's between me and my therapist. But however, Clayton and I are board certified now, so that's pretty incredible.
We are board certified. We passed CETA in May, and then we just recently passed our INBDE within the past month. So we are, like, super board certified.
Right. And for people who aren't super familiar with it, CETA is one of the testing agencies that does the hands-on practical side of testing. So we took endodontic, which is root canal, and prosthodontic, which is crown prep testing, and we both passed that. And then IMBDE is the written board exam, which I just found out like 3 days ago I passed, which is pretty cool.
Which is a miracle, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. By the grace of God, baby.
So we have to take one more CETA board exam, which is the operative, which is fillings, and then the perio portion, which is scraping gunk off of teeth. And we're going to take that in March. So that's coming up, and then that'll be the end of our boards, I think.
Yeah, no, that once we graduate, we'll apply for dental licenses in our respective states. I know you're going back to Arkansas. I'm not 100% sure where I'm going yet. I got a few different offers, and now that I'm flying solo, it's kind of...
You can go wherever you want.
Just go wherever. So may the highest bidder win, baby.
Oh, gosh.
So anyways, a lot of stuff has been going on lately, but we think the hot topic is student loans.
Student loans, I mean, if you're from a small town like I am, I mean, everyone is, you know, up in arms about what's going on with the new proposed plan that Biden has put out. So we're going to kind of talk about that, but we just really want to talk about student loans and what that looks like in dental school.
For sure. So first and foremost, I mean, if you have social media, I know that you've seen it, that Biden plans to forgive $10,000 in student loans for people who make $125,000 or less. And if you took a Pell Grant out, you can get up to $20,000 in forgiveness. So that's been like the main point of his plan that everyone keeps talking about. But what they don't realize is that the plan also touches on interest rates and repayment calculations. And really, I think, in my opinion, that's the more critical issue. It's not the numerical value of the loan. It's the interest rates and how they're calculated.
And for a lot of people, $10,000 is a lot of money because they didn't go to dental school where dental school cost, you know, $300,000. So $10,000 is a big amount. That can completely forgive a lot of people's loans right there. But for Marco and I mean, the $10,000 is great, but it's kind of a drop in the bucket. So the big thing for us has been the interest rate pause. And with this new plan, they're going to extend the interest rate pause until the end of December. So that's a really huge thing for us because, I mean, you take a huge, huge loan amount and then the interest rate, the amount that accrues with that is can be exponential.
Yeah, I mean, just to put it in perspective, so we kind of, not kind of, but we really hit the sweet spot as far as no interest in school. So when we started school in 2019, obviously COVID wasn't a thing, and we took out our student loans and they disperse it. First semester, you get half of it. Second semester, you get the other half. So it's just constantly growing and it was accruing interest the day it hits your bank account. So by March, whenever COVID hit and Trump paused interest rates, I had taken out about $80,000 for my first year. And of that, it had already accrued $2,000 in interest, which is insane because I had only been in school for, what, 8 months?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the thing about it is, so it, you know, accrued that much. You take that $2,000, you add it back onto the $80,000, you have $82,000, and it just keeps going. It just keeps compounding. So by the end of dental school, you may have taken out $200,000 in loans, but with all the interest that's accrued, it's crazy. I mean, it's,
yeah.
I mean, it's gone up so much.
You know, and the interest rates were like 6-7%. Like, it's insane.
It is.
If you want more information on that, just go to the White House website. I actually read most of the report. I don't want to present false information on here. I don't think Clayton does either.
No.
As much as we love just...
I do love false information. I do just love saying random
but, things. But seriously, go on the website. It's a pretty comprehensive plan. We're not advocating for or against it, but we do think it is very important to have student loan reform of some sort.
Yeah.
So be knowledgeable about it. Don't just look at a few social media posts and be like, oh my God, like, I can't believe he did this, and then form an opinion that way. Like, actually know the facts.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think everyone has been talking about student loan, you know, just changing the way student loans are forever, but nothing has been done.
Right.
So at least we're, something's being done. Is it the right thing? Maybe, maybe not. But at least something is being done to kind of fix this broken process.
Absolutely. So I think for today's episode, because like we said, we don't really want to jump into Biden's plan too much, but what we want to talk about more so is our experience with student loans and what you need to know for going into dental school.
Yeah, so I was blessed to not be able to have any student loans when I went to undergrad and got my nursing degree. So I really didn't have any experience at all with student loans. I really didn't know what to do or how to go about that. But the big thing is don't freak out. So, I mean, that's always our thing. If you haven't taken out loans before, don't freak out. It's going to be okay. The financial aid office, wherever you're going to school, they're going to send out information about the whole process because they want to make sure that you pay for your school. So if you do have questions, it's best to contact your specific financial aid office because it's going to be more specific to you.
Right. I agree with that completely. I think one of the biggest things I see with first-year dental students and incoming dental students is they freak out so much because they don't know every little thing. And it's like the school is going to tell you that information when they need to tell you, even if it's about what color scrubs you need to wear, what type of scrubs, or what loans you need to take out, or what your options are. You know, you're not going to know all that information at once. And most people are very type A and they're used to having that information at once or figuring it out themselves.
Right.
I was in a similar situation as Clayton where I had a full ride for undergrad. So I did not take out loans during that time. But then, you know, going to dental school, we've talked about it before with the National Guard. My situation is a little different where they'll pay it back after school. But during school, I've had to take out loans. And I remember just feeling very overwhelmed with that situation. What I will say is for 99% of students in dental school, federal loans will cover everything that you need. You really shouldn't have to take out any private loans. And I would not recommend taking out private loans because they're not protected like federal loans are. Like, I don't know with the interest rate pause if private loans were included in that. I know federal loans, like I haven't paid interest since my first year of dental school.
Right. Yeah, it's always a safer bet going with the federal loans because like now with this loan forgiveness, if you have private loans, the $10,000 doesn't apply to your private loans. It only applies to your federal loans. So definitely just go federal because So when you come to dental school, you're going to have two different loans that you can get from the federal government. You're going to have your direct unsubsidized federal loan, and then you're also going to have your Grad PLUS loan. So your that very first direct loan, it's a lower interest rate than the Grad PLUS loan, but it only covers $45,000 a year?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere around the neighborhood of $45,000.
Yeah, so it's around $45,000 a year. So you're looking at...
Is it also partially set by what school you go to with like the cost of attendance, or is it federally capped?
It's federally capped. Okay. So with that, I think your max is at $45,000, and then you get $27,500 a semester. So they divide it evenly. And then with your Grad PLUS loan, it will cover up to cost of attendance. So, you know, you subtract your direct loan from cost of attendance, and that's what you're left with, which is a lot. You can get a lot of Grad PLUS loan.
So you're pretty much going to have to max out your unsubsidized loan unless you're going to financially contribute. And then that Grad PLUS loan goes towards living expenses and whatnot. So let's say in total you're paying $50,000 a year to go to school with, like, you know, instrument purchases, instrument rentals, all of that stuff. Well, if you only took out the unsubsidized, you would still need $5,000. Well, you can take out $30,000 for your Grad PLUS loan, use that to pay the extra, like that $5,000 that's unaccounted for, and then the other $25,000, and we're just using random numbers here. You can use that other $25,000 to live off of, because obviously you have to buy groceries, you have to have money to go out, you have to pay rent, you have to pay utilities, things like that.
And one of the big things that people freak out about, and my sister just started school, and it was one of the things she freaked out about, is how much do I take out? I don't want to take out too much, and I don't want to take out too little. Okay, again, don't freak out. So what you need to do is you just, again, your financial aid office is going to send out a letter basically saying this is how much tuition is, this is how much fees are. What you need to do is you need to look at fall and spring, because at LSU, and I'm sure it's pretty similar at other places, but at LSU our fall fees are so much more than our spring fees. So you get a much bigger refund spring semester than you do fall. So it's kind of one of those things that you need to account for too, because you may need a little bit more just to account for that small refund you're going to get in the fall.
Right. I think that was a huge shocker to everyone in our class as we got our fall refund that first year, and it was much smaller than we anticipated, because you had to buy laptops, you had to buy textbooks, you had to buy, well, we didn't have textbooks, but you know, normally you'd have textbooks. You have to buy instruments, you have to rent instruments, things like that. And they bill all of that at the beginning of the year instead of dividing it up more evenly. So then when we got our spring refund, it was massive, and we had all this money that we didn't know what to do with. In my personal opinion, some people just like went ahead and paid back some of their loans. I don't think that's a good idea, because not only are you paying the interest on the loans, but you also have to pay a finder's fee to take out the loans. So it's called the loan origination fee, and it's like $500 or something like that. So you had to pay to access that money. So it doesn't make sense to immediately turn around and give them that money back. Like, in the grand scheme of things, $500 is really not a lot with how much you're taking out. So when you take out next year's loans, just take out $500 less and hang on to it. Don't immediately just give it back to them, because right, you have less liquidity. So, I mean, I was an econ major. We can go into liquidity and cash flow and all those things all day long. But essentially, don't start paying back your loans. The only thing, Clayton, you can talk about this is paying the interest on your loan each month.
Yeah, so when interest was accruing, I was actually paying off the interest every month. So I think it ended up being like $80 a month or something in interest that would accrue on my loans. And since I was working as a dog walker and census worker and everything else, I had enough money to be able to apply that interest, you know, pay off that interest. Because what I didn't want happening was what we talked about earlier, that interest going onto my loans and then compounding. And then by the end of dental school, it's this exponential number. So if you have the ability to pay off those, you know, pay off the interest every month, I would recommend that. Don't put yourself in a hole by doing it. But if it's something that you can do, definitely do it. Especially when interest rates, you know, kick back up. When, let's see, so the graduates of 2020, we're not going to get into that. So the freshmen that come in 2023, you know, y'all are going to be the first ones that have had to start paying interest at the beginning in a while. So it's just something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we've touched on employment in other episodes some. You're really, I mean, Clayton was kind of an exception, partially because Clayton doesn't study or do much. <Who knows? laughs> But for students like myself that have to study a lot, and like it also depends on the school you go to and their curriculum, but you're probably not going to be able to work that much your first 2 years. Now, your third and fourth year is different. I feel like I could get a job now, especially like bartending at night or something, and it would be totally fine. But plan in advance for the money that you're going to need. So this is kind of the next bullet point we had here, is that it takes a few weeks to process your loans. So you're not going to get your student loans the first day of school. That was also a big shocker to people in our class.
Yeah, people were expecting to get their money day one. They were like, let's go, let's ball out. And then we didn't get our money for like a month. And people are like, holy moly, there's $2 left in my bank account. So definitely, you know, plan according. The big thing that can help you out a lot is filling out your FAFSA as soon as you possibly can. So, you know, getting on that and getting that filled out helps a lot. Unfortunately, you know, like Marco and I ran into this past time that we got our loans, even though we filled out our FAFSA, they sent out everybody's loans like at the same time. Yeah. So it didn't even matter.
Yeah. But, and then you also have to fill out like the master promissory note.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you miss like one form, they're going to kick back your application and tell you it's incomplete. I got randomly audited this year. I had to like go to downtown. So the dental school has like its own independent campus, but we're a part of LSU Health Science Center. So our financial aid office and all of those individuals are on the downtown main campus. And I had to show up with two forms of identification and fill out a form and get it notarized that I was who I say I am. Like, they were like, in order to access your loan money, you have to prove to us that you're Marco. And I'm like, this is my fourth year taking out loans. Like,
I promise you no one else wants to be Marco.
Oh my God. It's like, it's all going to the same bank account and everything. Like, what do you mean? But sometimes things like that happen and that adds time to how long it takes to get a loan. Like, I know some people that first year had to actually ask their parents for money because while you're waiting for your loans to kick in, you're going to have to buy groceries, you're going to have to pay rent, you're going to have to put a deposit down on whatever place you're living, unless you somehow get a place without a deposit. But
you're right.
But anyways, expect to have like 2 months of living expenses in your bank account when you go to dental school. Like, absolute minimum 2 months.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, you're also going to want to go out and hang out, you know, with your friends, because we talked about working, but those first 2 years of dental school, I'm glad I didn't work because it gave me more time to be able to hang out with everybody, because that's so important. I mean, you want to know these people well because you're going to be spending a lot of time with them. So you need to invest in your classmates too by just hanging out with them. So, you know, be prepared to have enough money to pay for stuff.
Yeah. And I would say, especially coming off of some years where we couldn't hang out as much because of COVID restrictions and whatnot, it really, you know, our class was lucky because we were able to have a few months together before all of this kicked in.
Right.
But the classes below us, I mean, I see it when I walk into clinic, like they are just not as close as we are. And that's not me speaking ill of them. That's just, they didn't get the same opportunity we did because during their most formative years, they weren't sitting in an auditorium for 8 hours a day together. Right. They weren't working on projects as an entire class together. It was very divided. So I think there's a lifestyle portion there. Like, you know, don't just max out your loans every year for the sake of maxing out your loans, because you're just going to put yourself in a hole. But I do think you need to allocate some money to, like, you know, it's okay to go get a nice dinner every once in a while. It's okay to like go grab some drinks with your friends. Like, do all of those things. That way you can get to know that, because you have to spend 4 years with these people, and a lot of them are going to become your best friends for life.
Exactly. Well, and that's something I have to remind myself of too, is it's okay to spend money. You know, this isn't a forever thing. Eventually you will be making a lot of money and you will be able to pay these loans back. So it's okay. Like, don't feel guilty about spending money, because I went through that, because it's like, this isn't my money, I don't need to spend it. It's okay. You know, you're going to be able to afford to pay these loans back. So don't stress about that too much.
Right. You know, it's very interesting to see like what programs are out there now. Like, you can join the National Guard, you can join active duty. Like I know D-Rob got the rural health scholarship. So that's an option, you know, if you don't mind living somewhere that's a bit more sparse for a few years. I mean, the deal he got's incredible. I don't want to talk numbers on here because it's his deal, but they will give you a pretty handsome salary plus benefits plus student loan repayments on top of all of that.
That's huge.
I know some DSOs, so like Aspen Dental, Heartland, Pacific, like some of the major corporations, if you're willing to go to certain areas of the country, they will help with loan repayments. And there's just so many opportunities on top of just earning as a dentist.
Right. So again, do not freak out about the debt that you're going to come out with. Be smart about it. Don't just take out loans to take out loans, but it's going to be okay. Like Marco was talking about, there's so many different options. And in the new plan that they're coming out with, the public service loan forgiveness, they're updating that because that's been kind of a broken system as well. Right. So that's another option. So if you're willing to go to places that others may not be wanting to go to, you probably can pay your loans off a lot faster.
Right. Or even if you're willing to go into teaching after a few years. I have a friend that's doing that up in New York. She's going to work for her respective dental school for like 10 years, and they're going to forgive her loans after that.
That's
because
nice.
She's going into education, and then she's just going to go back to private practice afterwards. So there's a lot of options, but it's a certain level of common sense, you know, just budget accordingly, but give yourself some leeway. You're going to have unexpected costs. I've popped like four tires since I've lived in New Orleans, and I drive a big truck. So my tires are like $250 to $300 a piece every time I have to replace them. So that's not fun. But, you know, unexpected costs are going to come up like that. And, you know, you could also consider working during the holiday breaks if, you know, you can go babysit or work in a dental office if you have connections there. There's a lot of ways to make side money. You can flip stuff on eBay. You can flip stuff on Facebook Marketplace. I know student loans scare a lot of people, but you're also, you have to think of it as an investment into your future. So, whereas some people are working, like I know that's been a difficult thing to deal with, is that, you know, some of our friends are buying houses right now. Some of our friends are buying new cars, things like that. And you see that and you're like, man, like I'm going to be a doctor. Like, why can't I have that? It's like, oh, you will, but
not yet.
You know, whereas they're working at a limited earning potential, even if they're making 60, 80, 100,000 a year, you're grinding right now and investing in yourself. That way, at the end of your 4 years, you have developed a skill and you receive the certifications necessary to make a much higher salary. I mean, easily you can make 150 your first year out of school. Easy.
Definitely.
Some people are making two. Some people are making 2.5. It's really incredible like how much money you can make as a general dentist if you're willing to put in the work.
Yep. I have driven a red 1996 Chevy 1500 single cab since I was 15 years old, and I have been wanting a new truck so bad. Emily and I were so close to like...
Yeah, y'all were looking at some Fords.
We were looking at getting me a new truck, and then this is another thing that happened. In February, a person freaking T-boned us and totaled Emily's car, so we had to get Emily a new car. So I'm still driving a 1996 red Chevy truck.
To put things into perspective, Clayton's truck is older than I am. Yes. I was born in 97, and his truck is a 96.
Oh, my gosh. It's fine. I love my truck. I'm never going to get rid of my truck.
Oh, it's a great truck. It's super fun to ride around in.
It is. It's a blast, but it would be nice if it had, like, electric windows or... locks.
Oh my gosh. Well, Clayton, you have anything else about student loans
here? Not at all. If y'all have any questions, be sure to reach out. Sorry we've been MIA these past couple of months, but we love hearing from you guys, and we'd love if y'all started reaching out again.
Absolutely. So this has been your host, Marco.
And this has been your host, Clayton.
And you've been listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast. Got it.